Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you're having a bit of a disagreement with somebody else, and you realize halfway through this disagreement, maybe you're the one who's wrong? Dear friends, I have been in that situation many times, and it's never been fun. You see, I don't like being wrong. I mean, who does? We've all spent years in school learning the right answers, and we've gone through on-the-job training to make sure that we don't make those mistakes. We put a lot of effort into making sure that we don't mess things up. And that's why it hurts so much when we do just that. But there is one thing that I dislike even more than getting something wrong, and that's admitting that I've got something wrong. You see, if you're out there by yourself and no one's around to see it, if you make a mistake, well, you've got time to fix it, or hide it, or blame it on something else. But you can't do any of that when you're admitting a mistake. There is not a lot in life more uncomfortable than walking up to somebody and saying, "Yeah, I was wrong." That's not always an easy thing to do. And so we often spend a lot of our time trying to hide our mistakes, cover up our mess-ups and our wrong answers. But unfortunately, oftentimes, that just ends up putting us deeper in the hole. Okay. So, a couple of weeks ago, I forgot to take out the trash. Not a big deal, but still a mistake. And I can admit that now. Though, and you can ask my wife on this, that's not something I was quick to do. You see, it was probably the Thursday or Friday after trash day, and I had forgotten to take it out, and so it was really starting to pile up. It was getting bad, to the point where you've got to start strategically placing where that cardboard box is going to go so it doesn't fall off the side. And when my wife, Svenja, walked in on me building this trash tower, she was not happy, understandably so. And she says what any reasonable person would say in that situation. Why didn't you take out the trash on time? Okay, so the smart thing for me to have said at this point in time would have been, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you're right, I forgot, and I'll write a note to help me remember next week." That is not what I said. No. That would be admitting I was wrong, and I did not want to do that. So instead of admitting that I made a mistake and apologizing, I decided I was going to argue. I was going to try to convince my wife that I was the one right in this situation. I said to her, "You know what? There's no rule that says I have to be the one to take out the trash. Why didn't you take out the trash?" And that might have worked if I didn't say several times the week before, "Oh, don't worry, honey, I'll get the trash out." So when that one didn't work, I had to move on to a different strategy. This time, I tried to share the blame. So I said to her, "Fine, maybe I forgot to take out the trash, but you didn't remind me. See, now if I'm wrong, she has to admit she was wrong too." Except, of course, she reminded me over and over again to take out the trash, and I still didn't do it. Now, at any point in time, I could have still just simply admitted I made a mistake and apologized, but instead I got mad. I got frustrated. I wanted so much to be right in this situation, and I just so obviously wasn't. But I didn't want to admit it. So I got mad. I messed up. I was wrong, and I couldn't admit it. And here's the thing that happens whenever you get mad. Who's right and who's wrong doesn't make a difference anymore. The only thing that matters is you're mad. And who you're mad at. One more thing about all these strategies and methods I tried. None of them would have done the thing I wanted them to. You see, none of these things that I had tried, even if they had worked, would have made me right. If I would have won that argument and convinced my wife that I was the one right in this situation, I still didn't take the trash out. And if I found some tiny, minuscule way that she could share the blame with me, it doesn't take away any of my own. And no matter how mad or frustrated I got at the situation, I was still wrong. I didn't want to admit it, even over something as silly and goofy as the trash. And so, knowing that's how many of us feel when we're faced with admitting our own mistakes, well, I expected to see a lot of effort dodging the blame in our reading today. That Acts chapter 2 reading. Because you see, that little section of the book of Acts, well, it's essentially one long accusation. It's Peter standing up in front of this group of people and telling each and every one of them they are wrong. And he sums it up, one sentence all the way at the end. He says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who you crucified." Peter here is saying, you know that Jesus guy that you treated like a criminal and executed? God put him in charge. He's the king, and you messed up. Forget for a second that trash. This is huge. This is serious. This is not something you want to admit to. Because everybody knows what happens when you go against the king. That's imprisonment. That's jail, or more often than not, something even worse. So if nothing else, I was half expecting to hear an argument from this crowd listening to Peter. No, Peter, you're wrong about this Jesus guy. He was a real troublemaker. He had to go. Or maybe they try to shift the blame. They point over to the Pharisees or the guards or the government. See, it was their fault. It's not our fault. Or maybe they'd get angry. Who's this Peter guy? Who is he to tell us what we should and shouldn't do? But here's the thing. They don't do any of those things. Open up your Bible, or I guess just Google it since we're all online right now, and take a look at the next verse. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It reads, "Now when the crowd heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?'" Now hold on a second. That's a little miracle right there. Don't blink or you might miss it. Because all these people who were gathered around, who Peter was calling wrong, none of them wanted to be wrong. And yet here they are admitting it. Here they are saying, yeah, we made a mistake. They're not arguing. They're not trying to shift the blame. They're not getting even angry. No, it says that they were cut to the heart and they reached out for help. And what Peter says next is just as amazing. This is verse 38. It says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" You see, all those things that we worry about when we have to own up to our mistakes, all those things that make us want to hide our mess-ups and our screw-ups under the carpet, none of those things matter when it comes to God. When we worry about, is the other person going to look down on us or hold it over our head? That's not the case with Jesus. Because with Jesus, it's different. With Jesus, there's forgiveness. A washing away of all the sins and mistakes and mess-ups. It's put in the trash can and taken away. But more than that, there's a gift. A gift. Who gives gifts to people who mess up? And yet that's exactly what our God does for us. He gives to us his Holy Spirit to assure us that we have that forgiveness. And that includes you. Peter continues in verse 39, "For the promise, this promise of forgiveness in Jesus, is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God will call to himself." You see, this little sermon of Peter, it's not something that happened in the distant past. It's not a historical footnote. Peter here is talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about all who are far off, whom the Lord our God will call to himself. You see, God knows you. He's seen you at your best, and he's seen you at your worst. All of your mistakes, all of your mess-ups, big and small, he's seen them all. And he still loves you. And he sent Jesus to take your place, to earn that forgiveness that he gives to you. And it's a gift. Totally and completely free of charge. Doesn't cost us a thing. And so we can share it with others. Dear friends, you see, forgiveness is best given away. And I know that very well. Because it took me a few days. But eventually, I apologized to my wife for the trash. And she forgave me. And then I had to apologize that my apology was so long in coming. And she forgave me for that, too. Because that's what the church is. It's God's forgiven people forgiving others. There's this old saying that's been around for the better part of, well, 2 millennia. And maybe you've heard it before. It goes something like this. The church is not a museum of saints, but a hospital for sinners. And that's 100% true. You see, everybody here knows they're not perfect, knows that we need that forgiveness for all of our past mistakes and mess-ups. That's why we're here. So if you're looking back on your life and you're seeing a trail of wrong answers and mistakes, you're in good company here, and God loves you very much. Amen.